buscado un mejor destino para ti, lo que viniera de ti.
Welcome to the Inside the Journey podcast. This is episode number 23 for Sunday, October 6, 2013. I'm Nelson DeWitt.
I'm John Younger.
And we are the creative team behind the documentary film Identifying Nelson, Buscando a Roberto. Today, we are going to talk about a couple of films that John and I have been watching. We like to watch documentary films in order to get a sense of how other people are telling complicated stories. And in this episode, we're going to kind of go over three of them and share with you kind of what we've been watching and what influences us. So this episode was based off a suggestion that my mother made in one of the comments. If anyone else has questions or suggestions, please let us know because they might turn into an episode. So thanks, Mom, for the suggestion.
This is a break from the direct subject matter, the war in El Salvador, the disappeared children, your story, and really looking at analytical documentaries that address complicated issues that aren't so clear on the surface, right?
Correct. Yep.
And that's how it's relevant. And here we go.
All right. So before we begin, a reminder that the Advocate Experience is live and it's only been out for 2 days and we're almost full.
Two days as of the recording.
We are recording this on Thursday and you'll be listening to it on Sunday. But as of right now, we're pretty much full at the moment.
So get your application in if you're interested and hopefully there's still room. And it's very exciting that people are interested in responding.
Yeah. So thank you everyone who signed up and we'll be letting more people in later down the road, but we're going to start small and work from there. So if you're interested, feel free to apply. There'll be a waiting list and all that good stuff. It's inbarfilm.com/TAE for the Advocate Experience. All right. Enough of that. Now on with the show. All right, John. Since you told me about this documentary film, why don't you introduce the first one that we will be talking about?
Which one is that?
The Two Escobars.
Oh, okay. Well, that's and of our assignments, that's the one I haven't reviewed as much. But the three films are The Two Escobars, which is a ESPN 30 for 30, and it's a feature length documentary. And The Man Nobody Knew, which is a documentary about former CIA director William Colby, told from the perspective of his son, Carl Colby. And Hot Coffee, which you had recommended, which is a look at the campaign against class action lawsuits, tort law, by basically Karl Rove and the Chamber of Commerce. And those are the three films.
Yeah. And I guess our perception of frivolous lawsuits as well. But we'll get into that in a minute. So the first film we're going to talk about is the 30 for 30, The Two Escobars. John, why don't you introduce it?
Great. Basically, it's paralleling the lives of Pablo Escobar, the drug lord in Colombia, and Andres Escobar, is that correct?
Andres Escobar,
who was a defender for the Colombian soccer team that played in the 94 World Cup and then was subsequently, I'm not giving anything away here, I mean, it's sort of the premise of the film, was murdered by some soccer fans. And he had scored an own goal. And
which led to the
team did very poorly, and they were supposed to be one of the favorites, and they had an early exit. So it's a film that basically shows how these two lives were sort of on a parallel track and how linked they were, and basically shows the politics of a narco country at the time, along with through the lens of soccer.
Right. So what we're going to try and do for this episode, in for the sake of time, is simply talk about our reactions to the film instead of all the details of what happened. Just if you're interested, go watch it. And then this episode is going to be about our reaction to that. So,
and we won't give away the ending or anything.
Right.
Okay, Nelson, what did you think of this film?
The Two Escobars was a beautiful film. They used a lot of footage from the 80s and 90s of the actual people and the football games. And the film starts out with the 1994 World Cup game, and it's the players talking about how there was all this stress and tension going into that game, and someone's son had been kidnapped, and then they show the own goal, and then they mention the fact that Andres dies, and that's how it begins. And you sort of, I think on the surface level, you assume that Pablo Escobar has to be responsible for this. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they go back in time and they start to build this picture of how these two people, their lives were intermingled and connected.
I found, just in general terms, is a lot like an Errol Morris film. I love watching Errol Morris films. And in that, it makes a lot of these disparate connections, things you never thought were connected, and really elegantly weaves them together. And it's very artful. I mean, yes, it's a soccer movie on ESPN, but it was really an artful film in the way that it made you, the understanding these two characters, understanding something much more deep about Colombia in the 90s and the drug trade and what it does to a country. So that was my overall impression of it.
Yeah. At the end, I sort of felt like Pablo Escobar was a modern day Robin Hood in a sense, right?
Well, like, that's the way he viewed himself, but he was also the guy who would bash his work,
sure,
compatriot's
right,
head in with a baseball bat.
Yeah, but he would also build all these fields in the slums of Colombia, providing, mm-hmm, and he did a lot for the poor.
Sure.
You know, and
like
this,
that's like, the historically, like the mafia in this country, like,
right,
absolutely. It takes care of its own. But
it has this violent,
it's operating this spiral of death,
This film, I think, also revealed some of the positive that came out of that man who was responsible for all this death and destruction. And I think that was what was so fascinating to me, because I think on the surface, you think drug lord, bad guy, plain and simple. And then this film does such a great job of pointing out that if it wasn't for Pablo Escobar, many of those players on this Colombian team would have never been, had that opportunity. And of course, it fell apart. And as someone in the film points out, in this very tragic way, it falls apart.
My general impression is that it was very artful storytelling that, someday I'd aspire to it. it's just really well told story, and especially I think it's just very confident the way that writer and producer and whoever was involved with it, the way they would connect these disparate elements in very elegant ways. I think the others that we're looking at, maybe it's a good segue to Hot Coffee, which is a lot more straightforward of a movie.
Yep. Yeah. So I'll guess I'll introduce this one. Hot Coffee is a film about the McDonald's lawsuit where an old woman spills coffee on her lap, gets burned, and then sues McDonald's for $2 million. And what I liked...
She was awarded that, but she didn't sue him for...
Right. Well, the point I'm trying to make with that introduction is that's the story that we heard about, right, through the media or whatever,
yeah,
right? That there's
everybody
this woman...
Everybody knows that story.
Everyone knows that.
It's ridiculous.
Right. And the story goes something like she was driving the car She opened the lid, spilled it, and then she sued for $2.7 million, right? That's the story that everyone knows. And what this film does is it takes that assumption on directly and kind of says, that's what you've heard. This is the reality. They interviewed the woman's daughter, and she was saying, you know, my mother was in the passenger side. She wasn't driving. The car was pulled over. She simply took the lid off and it caused these burns. And then they actually show you these very graphic pictures of the third degree burns. And you're like, whoa, you know, like it completely breaks your perception of what this lawsuit is about. And then they go on to explain
And
the,
you learn that, sorry,
well,
go
they go
ahead.
on to explain the concept of tort reform, which we won't get into here, but it's about curving these lawsuits and the amount of money that can be awarded to someone who's suing. And then they kind of pick apart, or the rest of the film is sort of the five or six ways that this our use or the way that the court system has been eroded for the general public, you know, taking
Yeah,
away
it's very, very straightforward. I mean, they take a look at this story that everybody knows, right? And then they show you how you don't really know much about it, even if you've formed these opinions. And they show you how it's really the centerpiece, not the centerpiece, but a very important point in the narrative that's been drawn around this huge campaign. That's got people like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and Karl Rove and a lot of big interests that want to curb tort lawsuits, right? And then it goes through like four or five case studies, basically. And it even has literally it in between each chapter or act, there's a case file, you know? And they put the case file graphic on the screen, and then they bring you inside a different story. And it's story other stories that are very prominent in a lot of in some cases, like they have a woman who worked for Halliburton, and this is something that elicits much more sympathy than the hot coffee story, right? And in some ways, the title's a little misleading because each of these stories they give equal weight to. You know, they tell the McDonald's story, and then they tell the woman who worked for Halliburton and was raped and then couldn't sue because of the way the Halliburton contracts are structured. And then they tell the story of a judge in Mississippi who underwent a political persecution. It's actually several political persecutions when he actually won a race that a lot of money had been thrown into, and he wasn't the business candidate. And so they go through these different case studies and take you. Essentially, they use a lot of headlines, and then direct interviews with the people involved, and they show you, okay, here's you know, this hot coffee story, here's how it fits into this greater narrative in reality, right? It was fascinating because it takes this little funny incident that everybody loves to talk about, you know, and has this very simple understanding of, and shows you, well, of course you have a really simple understanding of it. It's part of something much bigger.
Well, I think you're right about that, and that's, you know, the power. And I'd even push back and say that's why Hot Coffee is a great title for it,
Yeah,
because
it is a great title.
you know, you come in to it expecting, oh, I've heard this story, I know what this is about, and then it completely blows your mind. And honestly, it depressed me a little bit to watch the film, because I was just like, wow, they've really like taken away this fundamental part of the court system and crippled it. And so I think for that reason it had this impact. And I think, you know, to bring this back to our film and where this is important, I think that many people have a very high level simplistic understanding of what happened in Central America during the 70s and 80s.
A simplistic understanding of if somebody's called a communist, you know,
Correct.
or
Yeah, I
right.
guess that's what I was trying to say. They have a simplistic view of what that means, and it leads them to think all these other things. And I believe the hope is, it, you know, I think we are trying to peel back some of those layers, much like Hot Coffee did, to give
Yeah.
people a deeper understanding of what was going on.
This documentary does a great job of just showing you a false narrative and then totally taking it apart piece by piece.
I think that we'll move on to the next film, or the last film, as it were. And this film is called The Man That Nobody Knew. And it is about the former head of the CIA. Is it Scott Colby? Is that right?
William Colby
William Colby. That,
during
so
Nixon.
during Nixon, yeah. And this film I thought was interesting, both because of the historical context. I think I watched it soon after the Henry Kissinger documentary film, which we mentioned in, we've been talking about over the past two podcasts. And, so I think that's how I got into it, was this historical context. But in terms of storytelling, what really struck me was the way that they built they built up William Colby from the
And
family members,
they being,
being his son, right?
yeah, which is a lot like you telling your story,
Right,
right?
exactly, yeah. And how he built up his father, not as, it was interesting because he didn't take the stance of what he did was right or wrong. He just said, this is who I understood him to be, and these are the things that he did. And you can have your own opinion about whether those are good or bad, but this is just my experience, and this is who he was. So you're brought into this person's life, not from the political, like from either political side, but from the family side. And again, I think you said it, it's very similar to what we're trying to do, where we're trying to bring people into this politically charged issue, not from either side, but from the family side, from the, personal side.
Yeah. I love this film, for a lot of reasons. One is structurally, like, I don't know if maybe there's this is more story than structure, but he shows you how his father's career started as one thing, somebody who was fighting the Nazis in World War II and protecting Italy against becoming a communist country, and things that Americans can all agree on, and sort of started as this one, not small, but very pure activity. And this guy started in the CIA when the CIA began, before it was the CIA, when it was the, and then how it became something else over time. And also how he started in Vietnam in like the early 50s. He had a major role there in the early 50s, and then ended up in the Nixon administration, with a lot of chaos. So it did a good job of showing how something could start off one way on a personal level and a professional level and become something else. And it also did a great job. The interviews were just so personal, I mean, he'd be interviewing world leaders, heads of KGB and journalists like Seymour Hersh, and yet he was just asking about his dad, and things he might not know about his dad and what his dad was trying to do. And I think we captured some of that, in our interviews. So it was exciting in a lot of ways to watch it.
Well, what was fascinating to me is I did not grow up in those times. I grew up in the 90s for the most part, right? So to
And I didn't grow
watch,
up in those times either. I mean, that's, I was 5 years old and not understanding any of that, so.
right, yeah. So, but seeing this film, and then, there are all these, there's Donald Rumsfeld, there's Dick Cheney, there's all these people in the room, and you're like, wow, they've been there for from the beginning, or like since Nixon, and you just like Nixon, Central America, Iraq, like all these sort of major conflicts that we've had over the past 40 years or so, they've been involved with in
Yeah,
some level, and that was
almost all of
fascinating.
them, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I really had no idea that that was the case.
And
And
I would contend that I think one of the important things to ask in our documentary eventually, not in this first one, but is how do we fight wars, you know, and what the hell are we doing? You know, what's really happening? And I think these types of documentaries lend a lot of insight into that.
Henry Kissinger is in there as well, and there's this one part that struck me, you know, since we're talking about this historical stuff, is they're talking about the Vietnam War and ways to end it, and Colby says something like, you know, we can save this, and then Kissinger responds, there's nothing to be saved. And Kobe responds, except human lives.
Gives you a lot
Telling
of
moment.
insight into who's on what side of what issue, you
Right.
know.
Yes, very much
It,
so.
it...
So I feel like that's a good place to kind of wrap that movie. And then I think we'll just do a final thoughts here and call it a day. You know, looking at these different films, I think the theme of these films has been stories that we have a surface view of, and then the films provide a way of looking into it on a much deeper level. I guess that would be my takeaway.
Yeah, and I think like the Colby documentary is tremendously personal. The Hot Coffee, it's very straightforward approach, and then the Two Escobars is just really elegant and multi-layered.
So I think that's where we're going to end it. Do we have anything else?
I just wanted to say it's exciting. We get these little updates whenever somebody submits a thing for the Advocate Experience, and it's really exciting to see people interested, and I'm thankful for it. And you did a great job setting it up, Nelson.
Well, thank you everyone who has signed up for the Advocate Experience. If you're interested, there's still room. It's inbarfilm.com/TAE for the Advocate Experience. And that's all we have for today.
Tune in next week.
And cue the music.
No, we're going with tune in next week.
All right.